It is July the 17th. Wonderful, bright, sunny day here in the Northern Hemisphere, and I'm sure that it's some kind of wonderful in the Southern Hemisphere in the middle of winter. Welcome. Around the world, we have people on all the continents showing up for this call. And it's such a blessing to all of us that your blessing becomes part of our blessing. Each and every one of us contributes to the blessing of the whole world, because everything that God creates, everything that God supports and sustains, is all about wholeness. It's all about the universe was created as a whole and is sustained as a whole. And I want to talk more about that in our presentation today. But first of all, I just want to hear from you. I want to know what's going on in your life, how the blessings are working for you, what you need, what you would like to ask for prayers and blessings about. So we are gathered here for one another, and I'm just looking through our board right now to see if anyone is already ready. It's star 6 and then press 1. The prompt will tell you. You just start with star 6 on your telephone, and then you'll be guided what to do next. So I don't see anyone yet on the board, and I'm going to take a little drink of water. And that brings up another interesting point and very, very relevant to all of you. And that is to be hydrated during your blessing. As you receive your blessing, while you're listening, have a glass of water and be sipping it. Could have lemon juice in it. Coffee and tea aren't good enough because they don't hydrate your body. Coconut juice is good. And there are a number of other beverages that are hydrating. But be sipping on something that's very, very hydrating for your body. And one of the reasons is that this blessing is going to actually pour through your body as an invisible light. And I say invisible, it's only invisible to your optical nerve, which is tuned to just a certain frequency of light. But there are many, many, many frequencies of light that we cannot see with our eyes. And it will be a very high frequency of light that carries with it a strong energetic resonance and a very high energetic frequency that will reach into all the cells of your body. It will touch every part of your heart, your brain, and your nervous system. And it's a little bit like what they tell us on a hot day. Don't ever go out without your little can of water. Always be prepared to be hydrated. So we have a caller now. Nancy, hi, and I'm opening your line. You're open, and how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm basically saying I'm wonderful. My mother passed in April, but I keep on feeling her energy.
Mm-hmm.
She comes by every now and then, and today she was just a bright light just bouncing through my massage room as I was massaging.
Oh, that's great.
And one time she even brought through the rest of the family that had passed on, and it was wonderful. And my prayers go to the people that are still, you know, still on that, the latter end of life, their bodies aren't working as well. I have one friend who's in, his heart is failing. And I'm just to those people that are still in that worrisome where they worry constantly about the people that are here and are in pain and are passing on. That's where my prayers are going for the caregivers that are still, you know, worrying about mom. You know, I don't have to worry about mom anymore. But for those people that still worry about their loved ones that are going to be passing on soon. Anyway, that's how
I'm. Oh, thank you, Nancy. That was was such a great message. You know, I have said that. I've said that so many times about my mother. Everybody's probably tired of listening because you can only hear something so many times until it's like, even if it's great news, it's like, well, yeah, that works for her. But it's great to hear this from another voice, and it is so true. This is one of the things that we covered in great depth in our recent seminar about rejuvenating our bodies through restoring our soul, because our soul is nonlinear. Actually, our soul is non-local. If you really want to get down to it, it's just totally non-local. And the act of birth to a soul is far more traumatic than the act of passing.
Uh-huh.
The act of passing is traumatic to those left behind. The act of birth is a joy to those receiving, but a trauma to the soul that now has to see itself in a little limited cocoon, all wrapped in blankets and unable to care for itself or feed itself or do anything but just look lovingly in the eyes of someone who does love it and go, wah. We've all been there.
Whatsoever. But yes, and there was one day that I was thinking about mom and her favorite show, and I was, you know, was going away, and I go, poor mom, you know, she's not seeing, is she going to be able to see the show? And a voice came to me and said, are you kidding? She can see it in bulk if she wants to. She's playing with every single toy up here. And I go, okay, that's mom.
Okay. Yes, we try to impose our limitations on those who have now exceeded all limitations. And the ability and the grace of returning home is a joy we all can look forward to.
Yes.
Someone wrote me an email this last week. It's someone who has is becoming a new ministerial student. And I don't know if he's on the call today. Not sure about that, but I'll repeat in a short form. He wrote, Glenda, how can we best be assured of going to heaven when we pass? And I said, well, Yeshua left us that understanding essentially in his two commandments. Love others as yourself, love God with all your heart, and then you're going to be assured of returning back to the joyous state of being non-local, again, in a state of extended and joyous love. And if you feel that you want to put a little more passion on it, then you find one or many people that you just love with all your heart while you're here. You would do anything for them. You would give them your life if necessary. You would give your soul, your life, your heart, your passion, your forgiveness, your understanding, knowing that actually, here's the secret, my friends. When you love unconditionally, whether it's one person or many, as Yeshua did, he loved us all, and then you take a look at great heroes like Gandhi or Mother Teresa, who maybe couldn't love everyone, but they loved the many, and then you look at devoted leaders or school teachers or doctors, And you see, maybe they can't love quite as many, but they do love the many. And they have just devoted their life to loving. You know what they're getting out of it? They're getting out of it the reinforcement and the recovery of experience of being a non-local being. Whenever you love unconditionally, and it could just be a child. A very, very good friend of mine has a child with, it's more than a learning disability. She was born with Down syndrome and has to be cared for, but she's still a bright girl and capable of living a caring, loving life. And her mother loves her absolutely unconditionally. This has been a transformative experience for the mother because she's able to live her life beyond all conditions and has reminded her that she is a non-local being. You see, the worst thing that happens to us when we come to this earth as a little baby and we focus upon all the demands put on us to adapt to being this little human being, where all we focus on is growing up and then learning how to live in this world. We learn to cry when we fall down. We learn how to get our way when we want something. And then we learn how to make our way through life. We become a very, very localized citizen of God's creation. And it's all so sad to think that only a few years before, we were an angel floating through paradise, not having a clue what was about to happen to us. But what happens the first time we fall in love? Oh my goodness, we discover more of the world. And then, oh my goodness, if we're blessed to have a child and fall in love with that child, and then all the friends of that child, we start realizing again, wow, we're not just a person. We're so much more than a person. And then we carry it as far as we can in this life. As far as we can, loving others as much as we can. Loving God as much as we can. Until all of a sudden, there we go again, flying with the angels. And that's what it's like. That's what it's like. This is why we grieve so much when we lose someone we love. Because they were part of our non-local self. And we feel left behind. It's really hard to take. It's really hard to take. And it's really the ones left behind that are doing the grieving, not the ones that have gone. So thank you, Nancy, for bringing this in and allowing us to see through your eyes the beautiful miracle of the cycle of life. It's all one great cycle. And I see that Donna is on the phone. Hi, Donna. I'm trying to open your line. You're there.
Hi, Glenda. This is Donna from California.
We are so glad to have you.
Well, I have a number of people I need to ask blessings for today.
Okay.
One is a very beautiful lady. Her name is Sheila Zutervern, and she just found out that she has lung cancer, and it's advanced, and it has spread. And she's now taking painkillers, but they're making her feel even worse. And a beautiful thing happened, though. Her daughter had a baby, And that was last week. The baby was born 6 weeks premature, but every mama and baby are doing fine. The only problem is they're in New York. Sheila is out here hoping that she'll be able to see her grandchild, but she has to wait 2 months before they can travel out here to see her. So we're hoping that, you know, she'll be around to be able to see that baby.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes.
And we'd also like to help her so that she doesn't experience too much pain, because she's having problems breathing now as well.
Mm-hmm. She is in our prayers and our blessings. And thank you for allowing us to extend our love to include her. Thank you so much, Donna, and we'll remember you as well.
Okay, I have a few more people I need to include.
Okay, let's get them on the list.
Okay, the next one is Caitlin Andrews, and she's had Lyme disease and thought she was over it, and now found out that she has complications from Lyme disease, and so we'd like to pray for her. Another person is Nancy Scanlon. She has suffered many years from mercury poisoning, and she's doing much better, but she still needs to find more balance and detox from that.
Okay. Okay.
And we'd like to add my daughter, Alessandra, to the list. As you know, she had a heart surgery a year ago and has done very well. But she's been having some problems, and we just found out the surgery didn't work. So we're back to first base again. And it's a very rare thing that it didn't work, and she has excellent doctors, but they're kind of stumped at the moment. So we just want to include her in our prayers. We're hopeful the doctors be able to figure something out, but, you know, it's one of these rare things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
well,
then,
yes. No, I think you've got the list here. You go ahead.
All right. And then another person is, our dear friend Sam France. He's a wonderful, very talented musician, been touring around the world, and just discovered that all his finances have been drained. His accountant has disappeared, and he's in a terrible quandary right now. So we'd like to include him in the prayers.
All right.
He just found out also his dog, Flap, has cancer.
Aww.
And we always wanted to call up about our little kitty, last but not least, Sushi. She left us a year and a half ago. And I have a feeling she's up there in cat heaven with Gunner, but we just want to send a little prayer up to her.
Okay. We will do that, darling. We will. Oh, my goodness. You are such a caregiver of so many. And I've got these all on our prayer list for the day. And blessings to you, sweetie.
Well, thank you, and everyone was just so uplifted to know that you and all the blessing givers would be doing blessings for them, and they're all going to be in silent prayer.
Great. Great. And everybody, that's the way you do it. That is the way you do it. When you want to bring someone into the blessing, be sure and set them up for the right time and to be here with us as we do it. Okay, thank you so much. And we've got two other people I want to take on the line and before we move on. Bye-bye, Donna.
Bye, thank you.
Uh-huh. And Susan, hi, you're on the line.
Hi,
Susan?
Yes, I hear you. Thank you. You know, a number of months back, my best friend's mother was in aside from being not well, I mean, she was feisty and there was no definitive, physical issues. She was 93, but she had a lot of emotional and sanity issues as far as I was concerned and living in a deplorable condition. And I did, I remember bringing it up in Christ's Blessing and, I was like, I was like nuts. And I think I even, if I play back, I was very emotional when I was telling you about it. And then the next day or day and a half, my best friend says, you're not going to believe it. But all of a sudden she became willing and she allowed somebody to come in the house and clean up. And, she wasn't living in the deplorable. I said, wow, that's incredible. And she goes, I can't believe it. I go down there and I can take her out and she's walking around with a walker, but she's like back to the living. Well, she
wow. Oh, I love hearing that.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. Her name was Irene.
Irene. I remember you're asking about Irene. I remember that. Oh, God bless her. And, miracles do happen.
They did. And the thing is, she passed, though. She finally, she finally let go, and she passed. And, I took this call, and I wasn't going to say anything. I felt her. I felt her telling me to tell you thank you.
Oh,
and,
is wonderful.
That funny? I had no intention of starting. Fixing it all until I felt her energy and she wanted to tell you thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much and blessings to her because I know, and this is so wonderful. It doesn't matter what point in our life we get it together. If it's only in the last 5 minutes, because the life of the soul is not measured in years. It's measured in quality of experience. It's measured in the coherence of our being and our wholeness, which I'm hoping to have a few minutes to talk about. So thank you, Susan. That is so great. Love it. And we have June. Hi, June. I just opened your line.
Glenda, I would rather hear what you have to say. You've been talking on things that matter to me, so... would you talk about the subject you'd like to have a few minutes to talk about?
Well, you want to ask for a blessing quickly?
Yes, I really would.
Okay.
I've been wildly looking for a car, and I haven't seemed to be finding the right one for the right price. So I know it's kind of a goofy thing to be talking about.
No, it's not goofy. It's really important that the things around us are part of our sense of wholeness. It's not goofy at all.
Well, I need it for work, and
And you need it to be, something that you can, that will service you and be an extension of your life in an appropriate way. So I will, we'll do a car blessing for you.
That's wonderful.
Okay, I'm going to quickly take a call from Sharon, and then I'll still have time to say what I want to say. All right, Sharon, you're on the line.
Hi, Glenda. How are you?
Doing great.
Good, good. Just one real quick thing. I wanted to add the new shooting of the police officers that happened just really recently. I think that was in Louisiana, and so I wanted to add that to the blessing as well.
Yes.
I wanted to also ask, you were talking about love with, about how Yeshua loves unconditionally. How do you do that unconditionally without expectations or conditions or anything added to it? How do you just love and just be in that place of love?
That's a very good question that a lot of people ask. On their path to enlightenment, it's a very, very important question. And I think that, the answer to that question is all wrapped up in the little mess that I don't have much time left for my message, but I'm going to make sure that my message includes at least, maybe not an answer to your question because it's a big one, but a pathway toward an answer. Okay, and I think the path is all we can really, really ask for. We have actually learned from, and when I say we, as I'm including the whole human race, in our acquisition of knowledge. As we gain more understanding about the world and the universe in which we live, through scientific means that has now been able to study the most ancient dust particles of the universe, we have actually discovered that in fact, the entirety of our universe only took about 200,000 years to create. The entirety of it. Now, you know, the Bible says 7 days. And if we are a literalist, then you're probably going to object to what I'm saying. But I think that compared to the age of the universe, 200,000 years is a fraction, less than 7 days. And I think that what the 7 days can literally mean is that in the twinkling of an eye, in the progression of 7 stages of unfoldment, which literally are described in the 7 days, how first there did have to be light, and there was light. Secondly, there had to be the firmament, which would really be the substance, the essence, the physical essence from which all things were created. That had to be next. And so in the 7 stages of creation, which were incredibly brief, everything was created. And that's, in a way, that's absolutely shocking if you think about it. But it reveals something that is also being examined and theorized and postulated by our most advanced quantum, we've gone actually beyond quantum physics. We really have. But all of our greatest advanced scientists have their foundation of understanding in quantum physics, and then they're leaping beyond that to realize that there is no such thing as linearity. Everything that's created has a collateral impact or a collateral effect or is the result of collateral influence. That means there's no such thing as a single act of creation. Everything is holistic. Everything. You cannot do one thing that you do not affect something somewhere else. For every particle that explodes into existence, it affects 10 million other particles. You cannot examine with even an instrument of study a plant, a single amoeba, that you don't affect its life or change the way it is. There is no such thing as a single item, a single being, a single creation. Everything reverberates as a whole holistic movement. And one of our one of the scientists I admire the most, David Baum, has described this as hollow movement. He has actually seen this as a whole in movement, a whole essence of existence that is forever in movement, forever becoming all that it is and all that it can be. And what I find is enough is to follow Yeshua's commandment, because his 2 commandments actually encompass the hollow movement, or the movement of the whole, the ever movement of all things, becoming more of all things. If we love God with all our heart, mind, spirit, body, and soul, and then we love those whose lives we touch as if they were ourselves, because they are in fact ourselves. They are extensions of ourselves. We reverberate into the universe. We don't have to worry about loving the snakes. We don't have to worry about loving, in a specific sense, those who commit horrible crimes of destruction. Because we are loving the whole movement of the power of love, which is God. And we are loving the fact that we as a being of love reverberates into the environment around us, creating more and more love from our heart, our soul. And we never pull back. It takes courage. Never, just don't pull back, Sharon, no matter what. No matter what. We think, pardon me, we think someone or something has let us down, has betrayed us, has let go of us. Don't stop loving. Never pull back, no matter what, because there are always, always those around us that respond to our love. It could just be a plant. It could be the breeze around us. It could be animals walking through our yard. It could be people we encounter in the grocery store. Just allow your love to reverberate and impact all of those around you without placing conditions upon how that happens. You don't have to love the behavior of those that don't show up in a loving way. Just be the love that you are and allow it to have an impact upon the world around you, those around you, everything around you. And you will make a difference in the world. And I think that as we go through life and we experience our opportunities to practice that, we move deeper and deeper into our capacity for love. There's a popular song that was it was so special to my generation. It was the Bee Gees, "How Deep Is Your Love?" And, of course, this was a romantic love song. But the words to it are just amazing if you apply it to the whole human race. It says that the world is made up of fools who just don't see the greater love that can be. And they just need to let us be. They just need to let us be. And we need to remember and to think about how deep is our love. How deep is your love? And I think that's all you can ever do as you go through this life, being. Some of the words, I was just thinking about some of the words from that song. I believe in you. I know the door to my, you know the door to my very soul. You're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think I care for you when you know deep down inside I really do. And it's me you need to show. How deep is your love? When we can do that for one another, you don't have to worry about loving all the actions and behaviors that are unlovable. Jesus didn't tell us to love the actions of our enemy. He told us to love our enemy. He went into the temple and was outraged at what the moneylenders were doing in the temple. He didn't love their behavior. He didn't love the behavior of a lot of people after he would work a miracle. sometimes he would say, well, go and don't sin anymore. He didn't approve of their behavior. He warned them. He warned them. He said, in fact, the wages of sin are death. He warned us all against destructive behavior. We're not supposed to love destructive behavior. That's silly. That's foolish. We don't love destructive behavior. We do our best to prevent it. Then we do our best to retrieve those who have engaged in it and restore the loving soul that's underneath that. We're not supposed to turn a blind eye to destructive behavior. And we're not supposed to refrain from even calling destructive behavior bad. We're just supposed to restrain ourselves from judging the soul that fell into it. It's the soul we need to love. We need to remember that the world, in all of its foolish and sometimes evil ways, can break down our faith. But always, we love the soul. And that's the key to the miracle in the two commandments that Yeshua gave us. So, let's get on with our blessing, okay? I carried this message a little far, but that's, I think, because I needed to. And now we will, if you will just be quietly in your seat, let your attention fall into your heart, and just be in this place of neutral being, the soul that you are, the love that you are. Be there with God and receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit. And know that whatever is given to you will reverberate into the environment in the coming days. It's not just for you. It's for everyone whose life you will touch. It's for us all. You are not a local person. You just forget that you're non-local. And then you become obsessed with your problems. Becoming a non-local person is the way you get beyond your problems. And I should say one thing. I do need to, and I'm sorry to digress from this special state of awareness, but I don't want you to miss out on this 4-week seminar in which we're going to work deeply, deeply together to find how deep your love is, how deep it is, how non-local you are, how truly, truly you are a soul on earth. There can only be 20 people in it, and there are only 7 openings left. So don't miss out on that. You can find it on our website, inspiredorigination.com. on the seminars, or you can find it in any of the emails you may have received. So let's get on with the blessing now. I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua, and then I want to just be with you, with God, with the Holy Spirit. As soon as I say my prayer to Yeshua, you will begin your prayer, and the blessing givers will join me in conveying the love of Christ, the energy of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of God. Dear Yeshua, you have given us so much to think about in your message today. Through my words, we know that it was your love and your truth speaking. Thank you for all that you've said and for all that you are to us, that you walk with us and help us every day to see that we are more than we think we are, that we are stronger than we think we are, that we can be of greater service and greater benefit in the world than we could ever imagine. And we ask now that you just be in us and with us to allow us to receive your love, the healing energy of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God forever and ever. Amen. Let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been delivered. It has been given. Now it's time for you to go and finish in your receiving, to rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't even pray in that time. Just be a neutral, open receiver for all that has been given to you. And know that you are very loved, now and always. Bye-bye for now.